It's kind of neat to hear what Pastor had for us on Sunday night. Kind of went along with what I've been thinking about, and kind of had this on my mind for a long time. But so then he turned to this verse, and it kind of stuck out at me. But so the other thing too, I think I'm going to start with my testimony. I don't know that anybody knows it other than maybe my wife or my parents, maybe some of the other people. But July 24th, 1986, I was 6 years old. I accepted Christ as my Savior. I remember middle of the day kneeling down with my mom in the living room. And it was the couch that I took a steak knife to. I don't know if it was earlier or not, but my dad had, we grew up cutting wood, so I thought I was doing, helping him out, I guess. Cut a hole in the couch. But anyways, I remember kneeling down and asking the Lord to save me. I didn't understand it all, but I knew that if I wasn't saved, I was going to go to hell. And as I grew up, and I thank God, you know, it's, I'm fortunate that I was born into a family and with God-fearing parents, you know, and as I grew, I didn't know it at 6 years old. I didn't know what it meant, or I didn't know how important it was to have that foundation. And you, and as you grow, you get more, you learn, you realize what your salvation is. And I remember after getting saved, I got so excited, because I called my grandma, because it was my grandma's birthday, July 24th. So I thought, I was excited because I shared something with her. We had something in common. I had a spiritual birthday. She had a physical birthday. And then in 2006, my oldest daughter, Grace, was born on the 24th. So the 24th of July was kind of a something neat there, so... But, you know, let's read. So I got 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that's kind of what I want to focus on tonight. This isn't going to be anything deep or profound. It's kind of like talking with Nate a while back. It's like, what do you get up and say? You know, we have a pastor that teaches us the Bible and what he puts in. It's like, what am I going to say that's so deep and profound? But maybe this is something that can be an encouragement to you. And I kind of want to direct this more to like what some people call the second generation Christians, and that's myself. And I know there's a lot of us in here that fall into that category. And so I titled this, What is Faithfulness? Well, just from, you know, so I thought, I'll look it up in the dictionary. So some of the definitions, strict or through in the performance of duty, a faithful worker. Faithfulness is something that we do every day. Whether it's faithfulness to our jobs, faithfulness to our spouse, faithfulness to our family, just being faithful. True to one's word, promise, vows. There's the faithfulness to your spouse. Being faithful to a friend. You say you're gonna do something, stay true to your word. Don't say one thing and then do something totally different. People pick up on that really quick. Adhering or true to fact and standard. So those are some of the definitions that the dictionary definitions of faithfulness. Now, you know, we can read all through the Bible and find faith, faithfulness. There's so many different, you know, there's so many different avenues you can study it and go all kinds of down different avenues. And there's so many great heroes of the faith that you can just take one and look at and just, you know, look at, and we're going to look at one here in a little bit. But faith is the key, is the key to our salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have to have faith. We have to have faith to believe that nothing exists, too. So faith is something that you have to have. It's, I have faith that I'm going to get in the car and it's going to start. I have faith that I'm going to, you know, with God's protection, I'm going to drive home safely. Faith is something that we have to always be, we have all the time. It's just a daily part of our lives. And as growing up, that was something I saw my parents have continually, was faith, being faithful. Times are tough sometimes, you know, and I know as myself, he's like, well. And as I grew up and I started to get into my teen years and just like get out of the house, get a job, get doing what I'm like, well, this seems like it's going all right. Do I really, is it really what it, I mean, does it really, but that's my parents' thing, you know, that's what they're doing. But then as I got my job and I got out into the world and I saw how other people were living, and I thought, there's something with what we have. There's something with being faithful to church. There's something with being faithful to just being faithful. And, you know, as us second-generation Christians, we have a lot to be faithful for. You know, because the thoughts were really good up here. And as they come out, I don't know how well it's going to flow. But, so, that one went. So, it'll come back to me. So as I grew, I realized how important it was to be faithful. And when it really sunk home to me, and I might be jumping ahead of myself, but is when I got such a huge encouragement and a blessing out of when I saw Katie and Anna come back earlier this year. And it's like the importance of it, of us staying faithful here, and it just gave me excitement for now, that's what it's all about, you know. And so if we turn over to Psalm 119, this kind of ties into what I was just talking about. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. So the Lord is faithful to all generations. And I believe that's the generation like me and my kids and my parents, the different generations. The Lord's been faithful. He was faithful with Adam. He's faithful with us. And it's the same. He's the same faithfulness. And, you know, if my parents weren't what I would say faithful, where would I be today? I don't know. By the grace of God, I'm here. But for them having to set that example, it helped me as I was growing up to realize how important it was. And I grew up, you know, I decided, it's kind of like, when we had our first child, it was like, you know, this is I need to take this somewhat serious, because if it's my duty now as a parent to try to raise that child to the best of my ability, that they, so they can serve the Lord to the best of their ability. And that's what I feel my parents did for me. So in retrospect, in hindsight, I owe that to my kids. And also, you know, the importance of being faithful here is I've been here for since church started. I remember our first meeting was in a home where there was a pool. The pool was behind Pastor as he was preaching. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. But I was only 8 years old, I think. But so that was, so I've seen a lot of people through the years, and we don't know who's going to walk through those doors someday when they that have been here, they decide to go somewhere else, and now they want to come back, you know. And they come back here and they're like, oh, where is everybody? Is it really, I guess it wasn't worth it. You know, I guess it really wasn't cracked up to what they said it was. And, you know, we need to be faithful, because we don't know who's going to come in looking for help. And, you know, and also we need to be faithful because we may have a friend, whether they're saved or lost. Our faithfulness with a friend that's lost, they're going to come to a point in their life where they're going to reach out to you, and because they're going to see you being faithful and the joy that you have, they're going to realize, like, I don't have that. Now, if I started to go towards where he was, why would he reach out to me if we're in the same boat? We need to be faithful and stay true to what we believe, because it goes along with keeping a good testimony. You don't know, you know, faithful at work, just keeping a good testimony. You know, people are watching. It amazes me. I've been on the phone a lot the last couple of days with a lady at work, and get talking to her a little bit. Well, she goes to Eagle Brook. But I wouldn't have thought that the way she was talking. And I told her a little bit about where I go to church and that I was preaching tonight. And she would say a swear word and she'd have to apologize to me. And it amazes me that if you just sit back and listen, and when people talk, you don't even have to say anything and they apologize. So you know that something's wrong with that. And I don't know, I get tired of getting apologized to for somebody swearing, but I guess it's just the spirit that convicts them, right? But, so, in Hebrews 11, that's what I guess we would somewhat call the faith chapter. We can look at a man who was one of the men that was faithful is, I would say, Moses. I'll just read a couple verses. By verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You could preach on that verse right there. And that's what it is. It's just sin for a season. It's just pleasure for a season. And the longer you stay at it, the harder it is to get out of it. And you know, I've seen it firsthand, and you dig yourself a hole, and you can't get one shovel full of dirt. When I dig a hole, it's one shovel full of dirt, and usually it's about three or four to get that thing back in the hole, to get that hole back filled up. So, you know, by the time you're done scraping it off the grass and you're making it look like you never dug a hole there. So. And it's only for a season. By faith, verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. And that, you know, and I kind of tied that with, you know, I guess there's an example of one man that chose to be faithful to what God had for him. And if he hadn't stayed faithful, where would all that have gone? You know, and by him staying faithful, look at the people that he affected. And there were generations of people that were affected. Yeah, he wasn't a perfect man. I mean, I guess perfect in the essence that he's human. He hit the rock instead of speaking to it. We all do stuff like that. We get mad and we don't think clearly, and next thing you know, we're sorry for what we did. But overall, your faith, by Moses staying faithful, he affected generation. The generations beyond him were greatly blessed. First Timothy 4. I'm kind of going through this fairly fast here. Sorry for that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I wrote a question. My question I wrote down was, how do we be faithful? What are some key things that could help us be faithful when the times get tough? When we decide, well, is this really worth it? You know, is there more out there that I'm missing out on? Let me see here. I wrote, maintain a good conscience. And John chapter 8 says, you guys don't have to turn there, I can read it real quick here. John chapter 8 verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. But what I was after was being convicted by their own conscience. We need to not let our conscience get seared. When your conscience gets seared, then what's going to keep you from doing right? Don't let your conscience be seared. Stay convicted to do what's right. Also, having the proper authority. Romans 13. 1 through 5, I wrote down here. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. That goes along with searing your conscience. If your conscience is seared, it's going to take a lot for God to get through to you. And the fear of God's wrath should keep us from doing evil. Because, you know, I got in trouble when I was a kid. I think we all did. But the fear of my dad, in some point, kept me doing what's right. And when you were told to do something, you didn't say no. And on that note, it was a long time before I could say no back to him and not be reprimanded. But that was kind of neat to see that father-son, yeah, we're still father-son, but they go from a father-son relationship to a more of a friendship relationship. And that's always been kind of neat for me to see that. But just think back to when you were a kid, and if your parents told you no, you're afraid of that. Your parents, they say no, and no means no. No means no, and that's all that no means. So having the proper authority. Keep God first in your life and fear Him. Prayer and Bible reading. And the only way to stay close to God is going to be by prayer and Bible reading. We know that. We've been here. But it's always good to be reminded of some things, you know. Another reason to be, how do we be faithful? Be grateful for what we have. I didn't write a verse by it, but it's, you know, where did it? Gratitude, I got a note written here on the side of my Bible. Gratitude will keep you in the faith. If you're not grateful for what you have and what we have here, why be faithful? And us second generation Christians, it's what we have here is not to be taken lightly. We have a huge standard to live up to, and we need to stay strong. We need to stay true to what we have, true to the Word of God. like Pastor said, he's going to grow up, he's going to grow old, and he's going to die. Who's going to be here to keep this going? Excuse me. There's been a lot of work put in here by the older generation, and we need to not let that fall by the wayside. That being said, we have a higher standard to live up to. I'll just read it here. Luke 12:48. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And I guess that I take from that is what we have been given here as second generation Christians, we need to take it very seriously. You travel around to different churches and you see what, you know, the pastors talked about it on Sunday night. You see it's full of older people. There's not very many young families in there. And if I was going to go looking for a church and frankly I walked in and it's all mostly old people, I don't know if I'd go back. You know, so it's something that we need to keep the young people here. How else are we going to grow? And why should we let what has been set up here fall by the wayside? Faith also goes with truth. Keep the Bible. We can't let that, we can't falter from it. We need to keep it first and foremost. I had some other trains of thoughts there, but I can't. So with that, I guess, you know, and in 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, it said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And I guess, you know, that's kind of just my whole thing tonight was just kind of just maybe to be an encouragement. I know times get tough and it's like, why do I want to go to church anymore? You know, it seems like it'd be funner elsewhere. But really, just look around you. It's not, look at how people are living. And, you know, you listen to people at work and how they talk about, you know, going out, and then they're shot the next day, and it's like, really? That doesn't sound like fun. And you know, I heard somebody say, you can have just as much fun or more fun not drinking than you do drinking. And you don't have a headache either. So yeah. We need to be good stewards of what has been given to us. And I just keep that in remembrance. Refusing temptations will keep you in the faith. Obtain proper exercise. You know, keep reading, praying, and I try hard. It's some days are tough, but I need to set that example for the kids, and that was set for me. And it's only right to set it for my children. I don't know that I have anything else. I probably will in the car on the way home. But other than that, I guess that's all I got. So let's sing a couple, I guess, and...